Breakfast.
The DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.
Yes, welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Another packed weekend's action in Donegal and around the province. Later on in the show, we're going to hear from a man that's moved far from our area, Terman's Michael Boyle, currently residing in London. We're going to hear how he went from being a top keeper to a top coach. We've also got interviews from another former county star, Paddy Campbell, now coaching an own Rose O'Neill's. He had a good victory at the weekend over Ahearn. We've got an interview also from Union's boss, Rory Kavanagh. Just to get us started on the ladies, the Kiernan's Group Ladies Championship, Buncrana were defeated by Mavill at the weekend. Mavill 4-17, Buncrana 4-12. It wins also for Glenfinn over Terman. The big two clash and Glenfinn coming out on top on that one. I'm going to round up the men's championship action right across the board with the man who's seen it all in club football here in Donegal. It's the Donegal Democrat reporter. It is the one and only Peter Campbell. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm good this morning. I'm good.
Not just a reporter. I seen you on the mic there yesterday. You were doing a bit of co-com with Ocean.
Yeah, that's something I just did. I was asked this year to do a little bit. As you know, I kind of stepped down from sports editor, so I have a little bit more time on my hands. And I did that in the past, back in when Donegal won the All-Ireland in 1992 with the old Northwest Radio. But it's just something different and not much pressure attached to it.
Yeah, it's enjoyable, Peter. That's a handy thing. I'd be at, all right. You can come and kind of enjoy a game. You don't have to go
When the final whistle goes, you can actually leave and let the rest of the boys pick up all the information.
Yeah, the handier way of going, Peter. That's the one, sir. That is the one. Peter, if we want to start with that game in the park, from a Unions man to a Rua man, I suppose, Peter, you're coming up there with high hopes after the week before, putting it up to Niamh Conlon, a game that you should have won in the end. It was a tale of two halves, I suppose, you know, close at half time, but Union's opening up in the second half.
Close enough at half time, but I was pretty worried at half time because I had seen that St. Union's were really up for the game. No, if they had taken all their chances in the first half, missed Niall O'Donnell's penalty just going wide of the post, and they dropped a couple into the keeper's hands as well. Like, they looked phenomenal side in the first half, with, you know, and the 1 point advantage at half time flattered Arua, I thought, and I was worried about them. You know, St. Unions went into the match knowing that they had to win the game, really, you know, if they were going to play any part in this championship. And I think, you know, that urgency, they had that about them from the very, very start. And I was very impressed with Conor O'Donnell Jr. You know, he ran the game, as far as I was concerned, for nearly all of it. A standout performer on the day. And Niall O'Donnell, probably nothing was going right for him in the first half. And to be fair, Eddie Lynch, probably one of Arua's best players over the last couple of years, was doing a good job in keeping him out of the danger area. But he did get through and won the penalty. And then in the second half, you know, he got a lot more space. And the final result, you know, 13-point win, and it didn't flatter St. Unions at all. I know, I suppose, Arua will go home and say that was a very poor performance. They probably, I think Shane McGrath said it in an interview afterwards, that maybe last week was, they showed a wee bit above what they can do, and this week they were below par. But, you know, you left O'Donnell Park thinking St. Unions are a fairly strong outfit, and, you know, they started without the two other O'Donnells, Shane and Connor Senior, and Eamon Doherty injured as well. So, you know, there might have been some they may have been worried a little bit in O'Donnell Park, you know, over the last couple of games, you know, with the Kilcar result, and then not being that impressive against Terman. But I think they were back to where we think they were yesterday.
Yeah. A lot of changes in that Terman game, I suppose, too, Peter. And you just mentioned Conor O'Donnell Jr. He's probably got that wee bit of a difference in terms of, you know, that wee bit of game. He's got that wee bit of maybe guts at times to go for things. there's a lot of safe play goes on, and I think it dilutes probably how teams attack, and you're always looking for that wee bit of a spark. As you say, Niall has been real martial, particularly in the first half, and I suppose it took a wee bit of guts for him to step up to hit that second penalty. He put it away well then, but just be Conor Donald Jr., he's one of those players, you know, he's going to give you that wee bit of an edge which will unlock a defence.
Yeah, and he seems to have bulked up a little bit in the last year. I think it's probably maybe at least 12 months since I've seen him playing. And he was nearly unmarkable yesterday, and he has that pace. And, you know, normally they would have been playing him maybe at corner forward and trying to put ball into him. But yesterday he was actually coming back and winning the ball. And there was a move in the second half where they turned the ball over on the Arua 13-metre line. And he got the ball on the 45. And I'd say within 3 or 4 seconds, he was in setting up a goal chance. I think it was saved at the time, but, you know, it would have been the goal of the season nearly. And, it, you know, you can't beat pace, as you know yourself. And if you can transfer the ball at that speed, no defence, no matter how many buses they've parked, will beat you.
Yeah, and had 4 points as well, of course. Peter, just looking there, you know, you've obviously seen some amount of club football over your days. You know, they look at the results from last week and this week. If you look at it, Terman putting it up to St Union's, they just about get across the line. It could have went either way late on. I know they got the 2 late goals. Arua then, of course, drew with Niamh Connell. If you flip it on the week later, Niamh Connell absolutely hammer Terman and Union's hammer Arua. Is it a question of, you know, those two teams maybe dropping their ability? I don't want to take anything away from the performances of Arua and Terman, but it completely flipped on their head. If you're looking at that, say, from a form point of view, very hard to read into it from either of the four sides involved in those games.
Yeah, if your bookmakers were making books for those games, it would have been a lot closer. But I think, you know, this was round three of this championship. Round one and two is for those bigger teams. I think they were sorting themselves out. The real championship, I think, started this weekend. And you had Kilcare going to our draw and putting a big score on them as well. And like Terman, I know they lost Darren McDade, and he probably wasn't able to start yesterday, but they did start him, but he had to go off with a hamstring injury, and he was a big loss to Terman. But, you know, there was a gulf between Terman and Niamh Connell, probably not as big as it was last year, and Terman are a young team coming through, and as you say, you know, you have to respect that as well. Arua are in the same boat. They were intermediate champions, and probably yesterday you saw the difference between intermediate and senior.
Yes.
And, you know, there is a question mark maybe over the whole championship. Is there 16 teams capable of playing in the Donegal Senior Championship?
Mm.
You know, at the moment you have that debate going on at national level where they're thinking of changing the whole All-Ireland system, maybe getting rid of the provincials or downgrading them at least, or... I know there's opposition against that, big opposition, especially in Ulster, and it might not happen this time around. But maybe there's time for maybe Donegal to look at their system as well. They've been operating this 16 teams for an awful long time now, but whether there's 16 teams capable of playing in the senior champions or not, I would have my doubts.
Yeah, particularly if you look at, say, you know, the bottom four teams around there, our draw, Milford, Terman, Four Masters, you know, it's been a tough few years with them in this group stage and that, and you know, a lot of sides in there, you're just, even Bundoran seem to be dropping back a bit, McCool's, you know, I know once you get into the latter stages, there should be tougher games in there, but yeah, you're just wondering, Peter, between that, it's diluted the championship a bit around that championship buzz, and we're somewhere now, I think, between a good league game and a championship game. We've lost probably that fight because, of course, there's chances for people, some of the bigger teams are resting and maybe get caught out on a day or lose momentum in a game. But that actually do or die championship, you know, back to the old format. And I spoke to you before with this, Peter, the home and away, you know, maybe a third game, you know, on a quarter final or semi final, a team can, you know, rattle another team. That it's such a different feel to it, and it throws up a completely different vibe, and it's what GAA is about. And I think we'd be better hyping up our leagues and getting our leagues into a good position where, you know, they're competitive and we play them out and just go for the championship. I think it would create much more excitement in the county. And at least then, if you're going to have a run at it, I just wonder some of the beatings that some of the teams have taken this last few years, how it's going to progress, you know, their players, particularly their young players coming in. You know, they need something to aim for outside of maybe one championship game in four.
Yeah, even this year already, I just noticed that there were six games that, you know, the margin was between 13 and 20 points. And, you know, that's not good for any team, as you say. There probably needs to be a change of some kind. The old home and away and the playoff, that was very exciting. And there's a lot of players who were talking, maybe we should go back to that. There probably will be some change maybe after this year. I know, you know, the system that we have for this year and last year probably came about due to COVID. Before that, we had the four groups of four, and possibly it was maybe fairer because you might put if this top four that we have, or the defeated semi-finalists could be seeded to have one of them in each group. So, you know, teams would have one tough game in the group, but then they would have three others that they would feel that, you know, they could win, probably make it more exciting. But, you know, maybe we should revert to the old home and away. And that certainly created plenty of atmosphere back in the day. And then you had the playoffs, and you can remember back to 96 when Kelly Beggs played, I think, four games against Deru and three against Ardrabb to get to the final.
yes, that's right. There were some great sagas in there, all right. Peter, tell me now, the game, I suppose, at the weekend that propelled St. Noll's certainly into the mix. I mean, they've been doing well in the championship. You know, they're a well organised, hard to beat team. Down at the Gerard Gallagher Memorial Park, there was lots of controversy and aim at Greg McGorry, the referee. St. Noll's edging them out 110 to 12 points with a late goal. You got some feedback from that game?
Yeah, I was at that game. Daniel Meehan's late goal stole it really for St. Noll's, and I think they all of St. Noll's would agree that, you know, Glen Swilly were the better team on the day, and they looked like when they went 2 points clear with only about 4 or 5 minutes to go, looked like they would hold it on, but the ball was turned over and they just got forward for that goal, which happens a lot in championship football, a 2 point lead. It happened, Ardragh and Bundoran as well, and down in Pierce Park.
Right, the league.
The game itself, you know, Glen Swilly weren't happy with Greg McGrory's referee, and there was a couple of frees in the first half that probably were soft, of the soft variety. But St. Noll's, to be fair to them, every free that they got, and they were kicking into the breeze and into that the difficult goals up at the clubhouse, difficult goals to score into. But some of the free taken from Stephen Griffin and Patrick Morgan was excellent. The one big decision that I think that annoyed Glen Swilly, I felt it was a poor one, in the second half when they were called back. They were given the advantage of the free in the middle of the field, but the play was called back for the free in the middle of the field, and Michael Murphy was actually booked for remonstrating with the referee afterwards. He was particularly unhappy with that decision. But, you know, in another way, Glen Swilly maybe have themselves to look at as well. They had two, possibly three goal chances in the second half and didn't take them. Gavin Mulroney made one very, very good save, and Oisin Crawford came on and missed a goal from maybe 2 or 3 yards. Blazed it just wide of the post. I know it was an awkward angle and he didn't have much time, but they had chances to win it. I think the frustration on their part was more to do that they were caught in the last minute then by that goal, and if they had to get a draw, they were obviously into the quarterfinals. The defeat means that they were into the draw, hoping for a good draw yesterday evening. And who did they get? Only Niamh Connell at home. Yeah. And, you know, they're in fifth place on the table at the moment, and they may not make the last eight. because of that draw. Because unless they get a result, they can draw with Niamh Connell or defeat them, which is a big ask against this Glenties team now at the moment, because they're on a roll now after scoring so well against Terman and even resting a couple of players as well.
That's definitely the tie, isn't it? And I think just what we talked about a minute ago, the championship feel, that's well, certainly from the Glenswilly perspective. And I mean, obviously not so much for Niamh Connell, but I mean, that's going to raise Niamh Connell. If a battle comes at them, they're not going to shy away as well. So
they're not. And then on the other part of it, St. Noel's, they go to Milford, and Milford have a chance of getting into the last four, but it's a very, very slim one. Whereas St. Noel's only have to get a draw in Milford, and they're into the last eight. So it's amazing how one result and that result in Mancharis on Saturday can change the whole format of the table.
Yes. Peter Gidor seem to be shaping up well every game now. They seem to be building up a nice head of steam. Just chat to a couple of people that are at the game. Glenn Finn, I think even with the breeze, sat out full blanket defence. I think it surprised a few people actually against the breeze. I think when they went and had a go, they caused Gidor a few problems. But in the end, Gidor run out 114-17 victors.
Yeah, they have been going along very, very quietly, and like sitting with a plus 39 points difference, and sitting on top of the table. We thought maybe that they had gone back a little bit. I know they've probably got maybe handier draws than some clubs, but they're going about their business in a very professional way. And they're going to play Kilcar in the last round, and it'll be interesting to see what these two teams do, because there's nothing at stake for them at all. Because last year, it was that the table was one played eight, two played seven, etc. This year it's an open draw. So, Kilcar will be happy that they've actually met Gidor as well, because that means Kilcar can't meet either Gidor or St. Unans in the quarter final, because they played them already in the group. And Gidor will be happy that they can't meet Kilcar until the semi-final either now. So
that's right. It's the same in terms of relegations as well, in terms of teams that have met.
In terms of teams that have met. I'm not so sure that they've actually decided whether right. It's going to be an open draw for relegation or for 9 against 16, 8 against 15, etc. I think that has still to be decided, I was told yesterday.
Yes, very good, very good. Here, Kelly Beggs beat Milford 190-18. McCool's 113-17. Oisin Gallen, after I suppose that week against St. Michael's, everybody was asking, he's fairly stepped up the last 2 weeks. Man of the match on the day. He was kicking them from all angles. Four Masters were defeated just by a point by St. Michael's. We've finally seen a wee kick from Four Masters. Hopefully it's been a real, real tough road for them in this championship, Peter.
It has indeed, yeah. They got some very heavy defeats in the first two games against Irua and down in Kilcar, where they only managed 3 points. I think they didn't even score from play in Kilcar. It's been very, very difficult a season for them. And like, I think Barry Dunyan was kind of carrying them for the first couple of games. But they seem to have found something against St. Michael's. They're obviously doomed to the relegation playoffs at this stage with no points. But there was a kick in them. And, they're hoping maybe that, they'll improve. I suppose at this stage, they would be favourites, to make the drop, given their form this year. But, we didn't expect them to come back against St. Michael's and lead with only a couple of minutes to go. It was only late points from St. Michael's that actually got them over the line. Mm-hmm. And, that win for St. Michael's, they have Killy Beggs at home in the last round. So they're almost guaranteed to be in the last eight at this stage. And it could have been the other way around if Four Masters had prevailed on Saturday.
Yeah, the fine margins. Not a fine margin, unfortunately, for Ardra at the weekend, taking a hammering from Kilcar as well, 214 to 3 points. Tough stuff. Listen, the ammunition that Kilkear has is, we know all about Peter. Again, I would say the side that beats them won't be far off.
Talking to our draw people afterwards, I never saw them so despondent, because it wasn't so much that they were well beaten, but they went down really without a fight. I think they scored a point in the first 10 minutes, and then they didn't score again until about 3-4 minutes from the end. They scored 2 points in quick succession, and like in between, they were dominated by Kilkear. Now, an awful night for football. Probably, maybe a game shouldn't have went ahead at all. There was the wind and the rain. It was almost impossible. We were in the press box, and you couldn't actually see who was on the ball on the far side of the field. It was that bad.
It was tough. It's tough, Peter Turney. Listen, Peter, great. That's the seniors roundup. We started the show, of course, with St Union's victory at home to Eirua. And after the match, I caught up with boss Rory Kavanagh for a chat about the game and the Union's future in this championship.
Listen, Bryn, I suppose reasonably happy. Any day you go out and get a championship victory, it's always good. Particularly, I suppose, after last week, it was very hard fought down in Termon, and they pushed us all the way. So we knew Eirua, having got a draw against Glenties in the week previous, that they were coming to O'Donnell Park full of confidence, and riding on the back of promotion and intermediate success last year, they were definitely on an upward trajectory. So delighted with the victory. I suppose first half it was nip and tuck. We were playing against a fairly strong wind, and I think we might have went in a point up, and we're reasonably happy, apart from the odd shot that was dropping short and some other shot selection. But on the whole, in the balance of play, we were reasonably happy going into the second half, and we just managed, I suppose, to ground it out and tagged on a couple of goals in the second half.
Yeah, I actually had you a point down that first half, Rory, but there wasn't much in it, really. It was close. But listen, Rory, I think in that first half, the goal chances, there was a penalty missed, there was a couple of goal chances missed. As you said, conditions was playing havoc with shot selection. And it wasn't a great first half, but once things opened up in the second half, again, a second penalty, which came from pressure running. A lot of kick passing, I think, started to really open up the game. And once you took control of that game, there was no looking back, and you ran out easy winners in the end.
Yeah, look, as you say, a missed penalty in the first half, and if we had got that, it might have opened up a little bit of a gap and give us a wee bit of breathing space. But fair play to Eirua, they stuck to their guns and they kept and hit us in the break in a few occasions and managed to tag on scores. But look, I think around the middle of the field we got a good platform, off the Eirua kick out, and we managed to win a bit of possession and get a bit of a running game going. So thankfully, the people who came in as well made an impact off the bench, and that's what it's all about, building game on game. And I suppose you can't produce brilliant football every day you go out, and we know that there's going to be occasions where you just simply have to ground out a result, and last week and parts of today were all about that.
Yeah, just looking back to the championship, as you said there, back-to-back victories now after the loss to Kilkear. New management team coming in there, yourself, young side. Did you think there was too much made of that Kilkear performance, particularly because it was, again, a tale of two halves? Very good first half performance, we played some brilliant football. Second half then, it didn't happen for us. It's going to take a while to bed in your style of play and to get everybody playing the way you want them. It's not just going to happen overnight. So I suppose after that defeat, now you have kind of stabilised and now looking towards Bundoran and looking towards qualification.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, there's nothing secured yet, and we have to go down to Bundoran and produce another performance. But look, that's the challenge with the games coming week after week. Bundoran will possess a formidable challenge to us as well, so we have to prepare for them like we have every other team, Brendan, and hopefully see where we're at in the injury front and hopefully get maybe boys who were out today. Hopefully they'll be in a position to come in next week. And I know Sean took a knock there today as well, so we'll have to assess where he's at during the week as well and see if he'll be fit to play. But yeah, it's about building week on week, and hopefully we can produce another big performance next week.
Hope so, yes. Rory, just one final point. I'm just looking at a lot of club football there without giving any home secrets away. Now, we don't want to do that, but your style of play, Rory, how you see the game evolving in the club scene in Donegal, and how you like to have the game played. We all know about getting numbers back and breaking, but as I'm seeing a bit more kick passing evolution coming into the club scene, which is great to see, and you've so many young players there. I guess you're trying to bring them on every night of training and every game. Is it the Union's way of old used to be an expansive game? It was all out attack. That, of course, had to be tapered with the modern football. So I suppose with you at the minute, it's a matter of trying to get that balance between defence and then allowing players to attack.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said balance. I mean, that is the key for us, like achieving that balance between defence and attack. And certainly you have to weigh up then the opposition and how they play and what their strengths are. And, you know, you have to pick a team that that will try and nullify some of their strengths, as well as, you know, trying to utilize your own attacking instincts. So no, it's about getting balance, and we have a good enough squad at the minute. You know, we have a healthy enough squad, and it's about trying to get minutes, championship minutes, into a lot of them players as well, because we've started out introducing some new players since even last year, and giving them, you know, exposure to senior championship football. And, you know, even against Kilcare, we give three players their championship debut. So it's about that balance, you know. But certainly, look, we have, as you say, a lot of players that are good at kicking the ball, and some boys that are good at running the ball, and we pick teams week on week depending on who we're playing against.
Right. Roy, just finally, your captain Eamon Doherty was out today, Conor O'Donnell, you had a few absentees. Are you looking for them to be back hopefully next week?
Yeah, look, Eamon had a slight twinge in the hamstring, and so did Connor. So we couldn't take the risk with them boys today. And hopefully, yeah, they'll be in a position now to feature against Bundoran next week.
Yeah, great hearing from Rory Kavanagh there, former county player, and of course, and actually just shooting across to Roan very quickly, another former county player, Paddy Campbell of Neve Connell, championship winner. He's at the helm there at Owen Rose O'Neill. They beat Ahi Aran 2-9 to 2-7, and we got an interview from Paddy after the game.
Yeah, we're delighted. We put a huge effort into playing that game, and we took our eye off the ball in the last couple of league games, and it cost us a wee bit, but we put a huge effort into that, into High Yarn. They're a very, very good team. They're very, very good. They're top of the table, and I wish them well in their promotion bid. But we've only won the first round. It was a hell of a game to come into to get your first round out of the way against High Yarn. So listen, we're delighted. It was a great game, I'm sure, for the spectators, especially when they got scrum scores. They scored 1-2 or 1-3 near the end. It tightened it up a little bit, but listen, we're delighted. We're over the moon. Yeah.
Those two goals early in the second half that really give you that cushion to push on from.
Yeah, it gives a huge boost, Ty, and to be fair, they're not easy got against this team. Sometimes are very hard to break down, so we were delighted. We got a couple of balls over the top, so yeah, Kirky's goal especially was clinical. I think it was maybe Cahill passed over the top to me, I can't remember, but it was class finish. And but sometimes you get them breaks. We had another one off the post. They maybe missed one or two goal chances, we missed one or two, so the game could have went either way. And but we conceded a bad goal early on. It was the first kick of the game, and young McHugh got a great punch into the net. Ty had set us back badly, but it took us a while to get back into the game with that. But we think we scored five scores in the first half. They got two or three, and it was a tight game. Yeah.
Peter Kirk, he was a good foil for Cahill, I suppose. You know, High Iron didn't really know who was playing what role, and Cahill was drifting out the midfield, and Peter was in there.
Maybe that's the intention, hey? But yeah, as I said, we put a lot of work into planning this, and Kirky has yeah, lots of speed, lots of ability, and you know, that's maybe the first time he scored maybe this year for us. I don't look back, but listen, he's got 1-1 today, and he had another one off the post to punch, and but listen, he had a great game. Yeah.
And Stephen Kelly pushing forward from with those surging runs from deep. There was a really it was a driving force for you and your other defenders as well. They were obviously given license to do that.
Well, listen, when you have the ball, you have to go all out attack. There's no other option. You have to go at the team and get the scores. There's no, you can't score back in your own defence. And to be fair, Ahi Aran pushed up on us a lot, and we managed to get the ball the other side of midfield well, and we got maybe a few bits of gaps to free. But yeah, Stephen Kelly did very well. Connell did very well breaking forward. Brendy Boggs, Stephen Harper. Listen, it's a free run for all of those players to go forward at any time. You know.
You've Clogher now, and they were very impressive against Killeshill in their game. I'm sure you watched that.
I didn't see it yet at all, to be honest with you. We were actually training, so I haven't seen it. But maybe we get our hands on the video or whatever. But we have our homework. We've Strabane first of all this week in the league, and I want to focus. We want to get a result there if we can. We're at home. It's been a long, long time. It's been 4 months since we had a home game, so we're at home against Strabane, and we're focused on that. And for sure, Clogher is the big is a massive game now, and they put up massive score. I think it was 220. I can't remember what score they got, but they put up a big score. You know,
you had a very good game plan throughout, but maybe not as easy to bring Cahill and Andrew Graham back into things.
The boys are all great. They do what we ask them to do. Sometimes it's not perfect, but when you're underdogs and when you're fighting against a very, very good team, you have to deploy maybe tactics that neutralise the other team a little bit. But tactically, it worked today for us. Maybe
it has worked for you a lot of the season, hasn't it?
It has, because we've won a lot of games by a point or two, and we're trying to focus more and getting more scores at the other end as well. And we've worked. It's my first year. I'm only in the job 5 or 6 months, and it's working okay. It's doing okay. But to be fair, the team. The lads are training brilliant. They listen very, very well, and they're evolving to a very good place, I think. You know,
what's your take on Tyrone Championship football then, and your first taste of it?
It's very, very tough, because all them league games we played so far, there's a kick of a ball in it. Yeah. There's so many good teams. Clogher, The Rock, Greenlaw, Gorchin, you know, they're all top teams. Kildress, very, very difficult to beat in any given day, all with classy players. So it's very, very competitive. Yeah.
It's a bit different from the Jim McGuinness days, and the defensive strategy, to the all-out attack approach from this side.
Well, I think you have the ball, you have to go out attack, and when you lose the ball, you have to defend. So I think that's still about a lot in club or county football. You have to push men forward in the attack. There's no other way to do it, you know. And
you had players certainly in the ability there to take some great scores tonight.
We had some nice scores, especially I thought in the first 15 minutes when we had to come back from that goal. We had three or four scores from 35, 40 yards out. Colin had a great score, and Tony had a great score before half time. So I think those scores were really important to get the confidence back in the team just before that water break. You know?
Yep, that's Paddy there. Peter used to call him the Undertaker. Great name for a fullback, the Undertaker. it was after the wrestler guy there. He had that kind of look about him, like he was going to take you out, you know. So many's the time he did take me out between Dave Connell and county training. But good to see these boys going around getting experience around the place. Peter, and in many ways, I suppose, even Michael Boyd's coming up later in the show. Guys in particular there may be involved around that 2012 time. You know, we obviously have Rory Cavanagh in there. You have Carrie Lacey, involved in coaching structures and that, and has been involved in the backroom team and very well got, you know, coming through from the lads when he was involved with Declan Boner. You know, you've Leo McClune, Eamon McGee involved, of course, with underage. And I'm just picking those guys out, Peter, because I think we've got to make use of these types of guys that have been in that position and have seen there and done it all in terms of, you know, getting them involved in the senior setup eventually. You know, I think it's something we've got to look to.
Yeah, Paddy Campbell, the man you mentioned there, he has built up a lot of experience over the last number of years in Derry and now in Tyrone. And, you know, maybe it's time that we should be calling on him to get him back home. I think he's living around Derry, so he wouldn't be that far away. And the other man, Michael Boyle, obviously has a lot of talent, and the fact that Ghidorah, we saw it in Ghidorah a couple of years ago at club level, where he got them to that Ulster club win, and within a whisker of getting to an All Ireland club final. You know, that sort of talent isn't that available in Donegal. We've been going outside the county looking for coaches, and. Declan Boner is scouring the county at the moment, looking for mentors as well. So, you know, maybe we should be calling on those people.
Yes, certainly. I think it's a valid point, Peter. Peter, just we shoot across the championships there, intermediate. One's for Fannad. Built on a solid defence, had a good victory at the weekend, as had Clohanili, don't know. Of course, four wins in a row, Neve Breed with their third one in a row. Was there anything in that intermediate championship caught your eye?
Well, I suppose the farm teams are Dunlow and Neve Columba. Neve Columba have been very impressive because they've beaten Clohanili and Buncrana, two of the four big teams that are left in the championship. And they obviously can't get them. And they got Neve Breed in the quarterfinals. we always talk about the big four in the senior championship, and I think there this year there's a big four now left in the intermediate, and that would be Neave Columba, Clohanealy, Dunlow and Buncrana. It'd be probably a surprise, and of those, Dunlow are coming down from senior. Neave Columba have been there or thereabouts for 2 or 3 years, and Clohanealy beaten in the final last year. They're probably the big three. Buncrana probably have a little bit to go coming up from junior, but they have a lot of good players as well. So if those four get through to the semi final, they'll be very, very good semi finals in the intermediate this year.
Yeah, it's really hotting up in that championship. You're right. I've chatted Manus Boyle last week. He's involved with Dunlow, and they're certainly pumping up the scores. A tough championship for Red Hughes. They seem to have been competitive in most of their games, just never getting that victory. Tough championship for them. Peter, just on Peter, in the junior section there, the weekend's results there, Narasa into the semi, 1-9-11 victory over Downing's, a big victory for them.
Yeah, they've been going well this year. I know they've entered their new grounds in Letchamick Award as well. You know, good year for them. The junior, obviously difficult every year. They haven't been involved. Probably didn't have the numbers maybe for a couple of years there, but they seem to have nearly all their players back now this year. And they'll be hard to beat.
Certainly. Mavill beating Robert Ennis. Later, Kenny Gales had a big win over Neave Columkill, and Neave Patrick and Cairn was a draw there. So in that junior section, I suppose it's, you're looking maybe Narasa, Letterkenny Gales, Downing. So we're looking at a big four, putting Mavill in the mix in the juniors as well. It's hard to call from those sides.
Yeah, I thought Cairn Donagh would be in the mix as well with that, but there might be slightly more than the big four there.
A big five there. Give us something different.
The Gales, I suppose, are a common team as well. And, you know, they haven't been that far away over the last couple of years. And, you know, it's time for them to make a breakthrough too.
Yes, indeed. So all remains to be seen. We're under the round four of action anyway now. And I suppose, Peter, as I say, that Glenn Swilly, Neave Connell, the big one going into the final weekend, you'd be looking at. And as you said, the likes of St. Michael's, looking to make it into that last eight.
Off the top eight at the moment, you know, the teams below it, McCool's and Glenfinn are probably the two that could oust the eight that are there at the moment. Glenswilly probably are on perilous ground in the fact that they're playing. And St. Noel's probably will be safe enough if they get anything in Milford. But then Finn and McCool's could be fighting for one spot. McCool's are probably in a much stronger position. They go to Terriman and they have a +2 score difference. And if they can get a win in Terriman, I think that they might get through on 4 points. Glenfinn will have to put up a big score against Fullmaster to get into the mix. They're on a -9 at the moment, but you know they could put up a reasonably big score against Fullmaster because Fullmaster don't have that much to play for this weekend. So you never know. I'd say you're talking about Glenfinn, McCool's, Glenswilly, St. Noel's, and we're taking into account that Airua might beat Ardragh. And they would be in the top eight, and if they get into the quarterfinals in their first year in the senior championship, they'll be more than happy. That would be maybe beyond their expectations this year. So it's difficult. But the top four, obviously, St. Eunice are not exactly there yet, but they're more or less there. Gidoa, Kilcar, Neave Connell, St. Eunice, and after that, St. Michael's look like they'll get through. Airua looked like they get through, so you have two places left, and that, I think, that's between St. Noel's, Glenswilly, McCool's, and Glenfinn. That's the four. I think they're four are fighting for two places. That'll be my read of it at this stage.
Yeah, some interesting games coming down the wire, Peter. We might get that that championship feel we've been after for so long. Listen, Peter, thanks so much for rounding up that across the championships for us this weekend, and I'll chat to you soon. And now a special feature on a man who's went from top keeper to top coach. He's been coaching and travelling, and at the moment is residing in London and coaching North London Shamrocks. It is a man from Ann Chairman, Michael Boyle. How are you, Michael?
All's good, Brendan. Hey, good man. Hey, thanks for having me on, sir.
Not at all, Michael. Listen, I'm thinking about your story. It's a fascinating story. Funny, John Casey on last week, and he was on about, you know, having played by James Horne, that, you know, it's hard to see sometimes where a player's going to come from in terms of being a coach or a manager. Sometimes the signs aren't there, but you've certainly taken up the reins in that, Michael. Some brilliant stuff done already in your career. Before we get there, Michael, I'd just like to see how this all came about. You know, you're a young lad growing up, you played a bit of soccer for Kilmac, went very quickly in the Van Harps Irish schools and that. Were you playing GA and soccer all the way up, or was it more heavy in the soccer?
Listen, I suppose whenever I was younger, I think we kind of started out playing with Kilmacrenan more than anything, and playing with Termin underage. It was a mixture of both. Like, so, you know, I liked both sports. I was just mad keen about football when I was younger, you know. So, listen, Gaelic and soccer, and had a big influence from my mother and father, and then my neighbours as well were big into football. And there was our local area there. There's a couple of like mates of mine from whenever we were younger, we were just big into it, hey, and with a couple of good influences there in Kilmacrenan, hey, with a couple of good managers and the same in Termin. So it just kind of started off from that and just developed from there, really. Hey, you just got a love for the game, hey, and a love for sport, which, you know, Donegal people have in general.
Yeah, we do indeed. I suppose you look, McGinley's at Harps, he was with Donegal. Patton was, you know, playing Irish League soccer and he's committed to Donegal. So it's that thing, it's a tough one at where they go, Michael, because things have got that serious now. You know, when I played and I played out the field, we used to play and you were kind of given latitude to play both games, but that's certainly not an option now. So there's a pressure on the committing, that's it.
That's it. Like, in fairness, I even remember, I suppose I was kind of coming on the scene whenever you were around as well with the Donegal scene. And it was just great memories looking back to it. At that stage, I think when Brian McAnuff was the manager, you know, you were still able to play. I was still able to play soccer. I was playing with Harps at the time. And, you know, you were able to try and balance both. But I think probably in, you know, the year or two after that, that it started to get to the stage where you had to commit to one, you know. And there was great memories back then. Like, I remember at that stage, hey, whenever, you know, I was coming through St. Union's College and we were playing soccer and Gaelic, and it was brilliant. Like, you know, when you're involved in teams like, you know, the Finn Harp squads and like the Donegal underage squads, and then, you know, breaking into the Donegal team as well. It was, you know, it was a great time for me, and I have great memories of it, you know, and the amount of experience you get out of it is brilliant, and the people that you meet is a big one, you know. Yeah. Especially going on through the, you know yourself, going through the soccer change rooms and the Gaelic change rooms, the differences between both of them. You know, you pick up a lot from managers, and like soccer might have been a wee bit of ahead of the Gaelic at that stage, you know, tactics wise, and, you know, working on more tactical elements than the GAA was, and then it started to develop in the GAA, and, you know, you were able to, you know, bridge between both sports and definitely make a connection between both. But listen, fond memories, and, you know yourself, you played both codes as well, and it was nice at that stage, but it's just got that level now where you can't compete there, you can't be in a squad at that level in both sports.
Yeah. And funny, Michael, the difference is right. I think back then there was maybe a bit more of a country element to GAA. I know that's all changed now as well, but I remember actually flip-flopping between, I'd land back to Donegal training and they would slag me for a bit too flash with the training gear, and then I'd maybe land up at Harps and they're like, "See, Davy, we've got to get you some new gear."
The difference between both changing rooms was massive, like, and it was enjoyable, like, going from the countryside and the Donegal GAA dressing rooms into the Harps changing rooms, where it's just a completely different vibe and a different, totally different atmosphere. Like, but yeah. I think
there was no mirrors in the GAA dressing rooms, put it like that, Michael.
definitely not. Hey, but I think there's more of a balance there now. I think you've got a bit of both. I think the GAA guys have started to go more in the soccer direction as well, so I think it's kind of it'd be more similar, I think, nowadays than it was back then, in a way, I think.
Yeah, and listen, you're through St Union's College, of course, you're playing away with Terman as well. You went to DCU then, involved in the Sigerson. Mike, I often think about that element then of playing with other players that are in and around county squads from different places. And there's another big mix. You talk about the soccer, the Gaelic. Now you're in playing with players from different parts of the country and their influence on you at that stage.
Listen, it was one of the most probably the best experiences I had was going through college in DCU. Great college, great people involved and the football teams up there, and you know, I think there was four or five of us there from Donegal at the time as well. It was top class, like, and getting to play with players and from other parts of the country is great as well. Seeing how they play, you know, seeing their, you know, getting to pick their brains basically and how they would like to play football and how their managers like to play football. And you know, I suppose DCU at the time, we would have been involved with those Sigerson squads, would have had like Mickey Whelan as a coach, Niall Moynihan would have been the manager. We also had a couple of guys involved with St Vincent's GAA and Dublin, who were, you know, kind of in and around All Ireland, winning All Ireland titles club level at that stage. So look, a lot of those coaches were involved in the Dublin backroom team as well, with Mick Bohan, who's the Dublin ladies manager at the minute, and he would have been involved with most of the Dublin set up high over those years as well, the senior team. So, you know, you got a real insight tied to the tactical element from the Dubs, and then also playing with the players as well. You know, boys like Johnny Cooper, Philly McMahon, and we had, you know, with a lot of James McCarthy, we had a lot of the Dubs. Dean Rock was there as well, Paul Flynn. So, you know, you got to see how those boys were operating. You know, they made the breakthrough in 2010, and, you know, we made the breakthrough then in 12, you know, and you got to see what, you know, the levels that they got themselves to, you know, and the standards that they set for themselves. So it was a great learning curve. And listen, we were in college, and all the footballers were living together, and, you know, we're getting to do our studies and then also getting to play football. So it was a real, real good environment for progressing. So it was, but great to get an influence from other counties and see what other players are getting up to. And it definitely benefits, you know, Donegal, or benefits me as well. Hey, when I get to see what other coaches and other teams are doing, you know.
Yeah. So that sounds like you were just playing sport and studying in Dublin. Would that be correct? Yeah. There's no dates out.
Nothing in between. Never made it to Coppers or any of those places.
Good man. I can imagine. Imagine the crack.
Fairly intense.
Jim, you swapped a six pack for the protein shake, just yeah.
We never made it Tuesday night now to Coppers. It didn't happen.
See, even at that early stage, Michael, I know, like, you're taking orders. And I mean, those players you play with, I mean, phenomenal. My God, there's a few medals in there. But at that stage, Mike, I mean, some players are given orders on the pitch and they just follow those orders. Were you already starting to think tactics, or was that too early for anything that got to become into your mind?
No, I think it was just probably a build up of the experiences that I had at that stage. Like, I think especially when we went to DCU, we'd done a lot of work on, you know, kick outs and systems of play, and we'd done a lot of work on timing of runs and different elements to kick out structure, and then we started to work on, you know, different tactical elements in attack and play and then defensive play, and it really started to open up at that stage. Obviously with being involved with Donegal, we had, you know, some good managers through the years that we had certain elements, tactical elements, but I think when we got into college, and I think the game just kind of transformed at that stage, and I mean, it was kind of 2008, 2009, going towards that kind of time where the game really did transform. And we went through like numerous different tactical elements in college, hey, that was, you know, a real learning curve, like, you know. And then with Dublin going to win the All-Ireland, you know, they had a real tactical element to their defensive style of play that season. They won it, you know, and we got a real insight to that as well, because we were playing with the players that were, you know, we were going through that, and they were bringing their influence into our team then with DCU. So it was in that kind of phase, you know, with the game really did start to transform, and then also you had that experience from the soccer as well, where you know, that was kind of tactical element was always included. Whereas it really started to come to the fore in the GA and around that time, you know, and everything's pre-structured, and you know, everything is pre-rehearsed. You know, obviously you want that bit of flair, and you want the, you know, you want players to express themselves. But I think having a framework, you know, in place is so important. And then you bring the good players into it, then, and they can express themselves within that, and that's where you get the performance out of. So, no, definitely, and around that time, I definitely started to think more about the game and more about the tactical elements.
Mm. And obviously the Donegal, the years under Jim, Michael, the big effect on you. Listen, there's been books written now at this stage. It's a while back now, Michael. We're not going to Kevin Cass and Declan Bode's book. I won't draw you in that one. But just looking at that time, Michael, there's a lot made of Rory Gallagher then, though. Who was coaching, who was doing that, you know, Jim and himself. Like, what was the vibe there? Were they both kind of involved in that? And is that where you took a lot of your basis for your setup of your tactics and your play and your training?
I would say so. Yeah, I suppose with the style of play that I would have implemented in Guido, it probably would have been fairly similar to what we would have done with Donegal in past times. Like, obviously, the county game has kind of progressed quite a bit over the last couple of years, but the time we had with Jim and Rory was really, really good. I think Jim would have been more to the fore on the tactical elements, and obviously Rory would have backed him up on it and would have had his own time to implement strategies that he wanted to implement. I think the two of them at that time were really, really top class, and you know, we like most of the boys that, as I said, were five or six of us at BCU, we were, you know, kind of scratching on the surface with it and up there, and then we really got into an in-depth tactical game plan with Jim and Rory, you know, and we understood how important it was, you know, and it was just a massive learning experience, and the big one, I suppose, Jim used to always talk about is having that game plan and having the tactical game plan in your pocket for when you come under pressure in a big game, you know. For years, maybe we didn't have that element to our game, you know. And whenever you were put under pressure, then in games we weren't able to perform. So at least whenever there's pressure on in big games and you have your system of play, you even see Tyrone, they stuck to their guns this year. You know, they had that system there and they just kept going and kept going and kept going. And even when they're under pressure, they're able to revert back to that, and then they're able to continue to perform it, you know. And I think that's just vitally important. You know, it's the same as coaching any team, underage right through. You know, if the players are able to understand what they're supposed to be doing on the pitch, it means they can revert back to it in pressurised moments, and that's what you want.
Which you brought, Mike, I suppose all this was to one team in particular. I know you're coaching in North London Shamrocks, but it was particularly Gudor who benefited from this, from a remarkable run, you know, right there, winning an Ulster and an All-Ireland semi. We're down to last minute, Michael, but just that season, you know, your input to them, you know, was phenomenal. What an experience for you as well as a coach.
Listen, Brendan, I suppose it was difficult for me at the time because I was playing with Terman, you know, but I met with, you know, Eamon McGee and Mervyn, and, you know, I realised the opportunity was there, you know. I did think it was a bit early for me, but I just knew that there was something was going on down there. You know, they had the experience of the year before, where they got to the semi-final. I think Glenties might have beat them in the semi-final, but they got a lot of hope from that, you know, and they thought that they weren't too far away. So, you know, the players that they had down there knew the opportunity was there. And look, everything just fell into place, you know, and we got great buy-in from the players, which is the most important thing, which was really, really good. And then we ended up having a really, really special year. And it's something we'll always look back on fondly, there's no doubt about it. It was brilliant times, one of the best times in my life anyway, most enjoyable with dealing with the players. Really, really good players, and just really, really consumed themselves with the game over that period of time. And look, they got the rewards from it, and I think it was important that you know, they really pushed on that season, and they really came through Donegal really strong. And you know, to get to that stage, you know, it was disappointing at the All Ireland semi final where Cara Finn beat us, but you know, to get over the line in an Ulster final was just amazing. To be one of the first teams in Donegal to to do it. I know there's one team back in the day that do it, but you know, in the current format, I think Goodore was the only team to get over the line. So, yeah.
Way back in '75, good old McNiff and St. Joe's, Michael.
That's it. Michael, I would have heard a few of them stories back in the day, Brendan.
It was a long wait, Michael, but listen, your input, that was massive. Michael, what a brilliant story. I could talk to you all evening about it, and I'll tell you, whenever you do come back from London, you will be a wanted man. It would be great to see you back here coaching at whatever age. I know you've coached with under-20s in Donegal as well, and just chatting to Peter Campbell previously. We need guys back like you back here, so whenever you come back, Michael, the county will be looking towards guys like you. So listen, Michael, in between times, Michael, of course, I wish you all the best. Of course, coaching at North London Shamrocks, that was Michael Boyd. Thanks for joining us this evening. We're out of time. Thank you, Michael. Thank you. We're out of time here, folks. We'll wrap it up here. Thanks to Michael Boyle there. Brilliant story from Michael, of course, Terman man in London now, to Peter Campbell. Of course, we had interviews there from Rory Kavanagh and from Paddy Campbell. Thanks to Canis for producing. Austin Kelly, head of sport. I'll speak to you all next week.
The DL Debate in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny. Serving food you love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah's experience.